I'm a sidekick, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do, and I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and make a change. Do it the Amy Scott Grant way. It's the state of the universe, the state of the universe. Amy Talks!
Hey, it's Amy Scott Grant, your favorite spiritual ass kicker. Welcome back to another installment of Amy Talks. And talks and talks and talks and talks. No, I'm going to try and keep it relatively brief. Today, we're talking about the truth about joy. Joy and pain. Yeah, I know. You might remember that song if you're as old as I am. Or if you like really good 80s music. Actually, that might have been 90s. Either way, we're going to talk about joy today. And I used this topic recently on a Facebook Live. And I thought, sometimes while I'm talking, I think, damn, this is really good stuff. And I had that experience. I mean, I try to only say all the really good stuff, but sometimes it's like, I'm like, wow, we need to get this message out there even more. And that's kind of how this topic landed with me. It's how the message rolled through. And I thought, yeah, people need to know about this. So I'm trying to keep it to about 20 minutes or less today. So what do you say we get started? All right. So what we noticed during this live that was so interesting is that there's a big difference in the way that we approach and the way that we feel about joy versus happiness. Kind of weird, right? Because at first blush, they seem like they would be synonyms for each other. And joy is not a super common word, right? In fact, for some people, it sort of feels a little new agey or a little old fashioned. And I totally get that. But by the end of this audio, I have a feeling you're going to want to start using the word joy and joyful again. And the reason that this came up, the reason I first thought about joy, is because to me, it's part of what's at the core of Christmas. And so as I'm recording this, we're starting to roll into the holiday season. And joy is one of those things that I just sort of associate with Christmas. You know, it's easy to find Christmas ornaments with the word joy on it. In fact, if your name is Joy, you can easily find personalized ornaments that aren't even meant to be personalized. Anything else? Probably not. You'd probably have trouble finding personalized stuff unless you order it special. But joy is an important component of the holiday season. So what is joy and where does it come from? Well, interesting you should ask, because I'm happy to tell you. I'm going to help you to actually experience this for yourself, right? This is kind of fun. So take a minute now and just listen as I say this word and notice whatever you notice in your body, in your emotions, in your mind, all of it. Okay, you ready? The word is happy. And now try it with happiness. It's interesting because hearing the word happy doesn't often make people feel happy, right? So I don't know about you, but for me, when I hear the word happiness, I think about a state of being, like where all of the stuff in your life has kind of lined up just right, and you're able to have life on cruise control because everything is good and it's all just handled. That's what I think of and what I feel when happiness comes up. And then for the word happy, when I hear the word happy, I think warmth. It feels sort of light and fluffy, kind of like cotton candy. And it's like happy. Yeah, that's nice. All right, now let's try it with this word. Just notice what you notice, no judgment. Joy. Well, to be honest, the first thing I notice is that I've said the word joy a lot so far in this live, and I feel like it's one of those things that the more you say it, the weirder it starts to sound. Joy, 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 joy. It sounds super weird. But I'm also noticing that makes me laugh, which is joy. So when I hear the word joy, and I'm not thinking about what an odd little word it is, and how it makes your mouth do something weird when you say it, joy. Oh, I bet you just tried it so you could feel it. It does make your mouth do something weird, right? Okay, so when I'm not thinking about any of that and I say the word joy, what I think of, it feels like an upwelling. Like there's energy that's rising up from inside of me, up into my heart chakra, up through, sorry, I have a noisy necklace on today. That's what you're hearing. Up through the throat and out of the mouth. That's what I feel like the process of joy is. So warmth kind of feels, happiness to me feels like a kind of a puddle of warmth. Not like the dog just peed, but like oozing, nice, like maybe like caramel, kind of just spreading out smooth and sweet and warm. That's what I feel when I think happiness. And when I think joy, it's more like a bubble. It's like bubbles, but not like gas bubbles or painful bubbles or anything. Like happy bubbles, like happy little bubbles of essence of joy are like coming up my body and up out of my mouth, as words or as singing or laughter or whatever. I also feel like joy is very spontaneous, right? If someone who's normally very serious suddenly cracks a joke and it catches you off guard and you laugh without even thinking about it, like you sort of laugh in spite of yourself, to me, that's joy. It's spontaneous. It's of the moment. So here's the sticky wicket, all right, is that whether this is true or not doesn't matter right now, because perception is reality. In the context of this conversation, your beliefs and your perceptions about joy and happiness, this is what matters. Because if you have erroneous perceptions about happiness, that's fine. We could shift that. I mean, we could shift anything, right? So we could shift that. But it seems like it makes more sense. And after I explain it, I think you'll agree with me. It seems to make more sense to rather create a workaround. It's kind of like if you're a certain way and you know you're that way, and sometimes that way really serves you, but sometimes it causes obstacles. Well, you could clear it so that you're a different way, but then you'd have to know that you're also clearing the part that works, like because it's who you are and it's how you are. Or instead of clearing it, you could create a workaround, right? To prevent the adverse stuff from it and keep all the benefits of it. I'm like a big fan of keeping benefits, right? Like keep whatever works and clear whatever's a problem. So consider this, whether it's true or not, how we feel about happiness is very different as compared to how we feel about joy. And when we think about what it means to be happy, we rarely think of this moment. Instead, it feels like a state of being that is somewhere in the future that we are striving for. Here's evidence of this, okay? If I were to ask you right now, do you feel joyful? It's a really simple question. You'd either be like, yeah, or I mean, not really, you know, like you, it's a pretty yes or no, straightforward kind of question. What then happens when I say, hey, are you happy? Whoa, that just got real, right? Like somehow it seems like the same question on the surface, but it's a whole deeper level. It's kind of like the difference when your partner says, we need to talk. Like, where do you want to go to dinner? We need to talk about that. Versus we need to talk, right? There's like a gravitas to the second one. And that's how happy feels. If someone says, hey, are you happy? It's like, you kind of sit back and you're like, whoa, that's deep. I don't know. Am I happy? I mean, and then you start to run down the spiral, right? I totally get it because we all do this. I don't know. Am I happy? I mean, I have a lot in my life to be grateful for. You start thinking about what's going well, but then you start thinking about what's not going well. And you're like, oh, I don't know. Like, am I really happy? So happiness again, whether it's true or not, what it feels like to us and what some of our beliefs tell us, our underlying beliefs say that happiness is this state of life. It's this thing that we strive towards where everything in our life is going well. And then we can finally be happy. So if you've struggled to find happiness, this should give you a clue as to why. Because we treat happiness as though it's out there. Now, like I said, we could do all the work that there is to clear that and to be able to live happiness as it comes from within us. Or here's a much quicker, easier workaround. I'm not saying you shouldn't clear that. And if you're working on it, I'm not saying you should stop. I'm just saying, like, in the interest of time, and who really has time to do what? Let's have a quick trick workaround, right? That says, what if instead of focusing on creating happiness or finally becoming happy, what if we simply created joy? Because joy is something that we can create right now in this moment. Has anyone ever surprised you with a gift that was like, the perfect gift. Like they got you. They just know you so well. A friend of mine one time gave me a ceramic coaster, you know, like a drink coaster for my desk. And it said, my dentist said I needed a crown. And I was like, I know, right? I laughed so hard when she gave me that because I was like, oh my God, she totally gets me. Like, that's really funny. And then to be honest, I ultimately got rid of it because I was like, well, I don't want to manifest needing a crown. So I'm going to go ahead and let that go. Or it might have broken or so. I actually can't remember. I just know I don't have it anymore. But I just, that brought me so much joy when she gave me that, right? Because I was like, oh my God, you totally get me, right? Now, does that last? No, but neither does happiness. But in our minds, we sort of have this idea that happiness, like that there is this nirvana out there that we can work towards and that we can set up for ourselves and that we could create this perpetual state of happiness. But joy, we know, is fleeting, but it doesn't even matter because when you feel it, it feels so good in that moment and you're completely in it, right? When my friend gave you that gift, I didn't have a million other thoughts in that moment. I didn't think, I didn't get her anything, or oh my gosh, this seems expensive. Or what is she trying to say? Is she calling me a diva? Or like nothing. I didn't have any of that. I just was so filled with joy because the gift perfectly matched the recipient from the giver, right? And how she sees me, right? She knew it was funny and that I would love it. So, and I did. So that was joy. And it doesn't always have to be gifts, right? You know, there are times when joy happens spontaneously or organically. In fact, it happens that way a lot where, you know, you could just be driving, whatever, you're not really thinking about anything. And then a song that you love that you haven't heard in ages pops up on the radio. And what do? I love this song, and turn it up and start singing, right? So that is just organic, pure, spontaneous joy. It came out of nowhere. You did nothing to provoke it. It might only last 3 minutes or as long as the song is and then be over, but that's okay. It was a natural, organic feeling that arose from inside of you. Now, you can also summon joy by creating joy, right? We can create joy for ourselves and others. You know, to be honest, that is really what the KonMari book is about. And I know KonMari had its moment, right? And if you like love Marie Kondo, is she going to do more episodes of her show or what? Because I'm like, wow, we like binge watch that in one sitting. And I'm like, is that it? Were there not more? She's adorable. I love her. So, and I know a lot more people bought that book than have actually KonMari'd their house. And that's fine, right? That's fine. But if you actually read the book, you begin to understand that the whole purpose of why she created this method is to instill more joy, to spark joy in her environment. And that's why she's adorable, right? It really has nothing to do with how she looks or how she dresses. It's more about how she is and how she feels in a space. She's all about joy. I mean, that's really the essence of who she is. So she wasn't like, I'm going to sit down and create a method in order to help people be more organized. No, if you read the book, you learn that actually as a child, she realized that the way that she arranged things in her room, she could arrange them differently to create more joy. And by minimizing what she had, she found she had more joy. And then in experimentation, she went too far and she like minimized everything. And then she realized she cried because there was like something that she loved that broke. And she was like, oh, and I don't have a replacement for this because I got rid of everything. So it was like a journey that she went on. But what is at the essence of that whole thing is joy. It's about surrounding yourself with things in your space that bring you joy, but not so many that you don't even notice what's there, right? So enough about KonMari. You can summon joy without KonMari in your house, okay? And sometimes that looks like treating yourself to something or surprising someone else with something, but it doesn't have to cost any money. You could create joy by doing something that brings you joy. And this is why joy is easier to access. So here's really the takeaway of this message today, okay? Is that if you have felt like happiness is out there, or it's in the future, or it's been beyond your reach, or you haven't just felt very happy lately, reach for joy instead. It's way more accessible, right? And yes, it's not forever. Guess what? Happiness isn't either, but we think it is. We think once we get there, then I'll be happy. I've arrived. End of story. Now I can relax, right? But intellectually, we know that doesn't last either because people die, divorces happen, jobs are lost, market changes, you know, housing situation changes, all kinds of things happen, right? So joy is very accessible. It's very in the moment. It's like your feel-good drug for right now, right? And if you keep creating joy and you keep sparking and instilling joy, the craziest thing happens. You end up being happier. So all those years and all that time and effort of pursuing happiness that didn't get you super far, really, what if the answer was as simple as constantly reaching for joy? And by creating more joy, you're happier. It's remarkable, really. Counterintuitive for sure, but remarkable. Okay, so how do you reach for joy? Oh my God, it's so simple. Are you ready? Like, you don't even need to write this down. It's really that simple. Here we go. Ask yourself, what would bring me joy right now? Or if you're waking up in the morning, what would bring me joy today? What would make me feel joyful today? That might be, you know, painting or gardening or doing a craft or treating someone to lunch or calling someone who always makes you laugh or watching your favorite movie or putting on, you know, that CD or that, you know, playlist from forever ago that just always seemed to boost your mood. Or it might mean exercising or cleaning out a space or booking a trip or buying a plant. I mean, there's really so many ways, so many things that you can bring in joy. It's not, you don't have to buy a new house or a boat or take an expensive vacation in order to spark joy. It's really simple little things. The impact of joy is happiness. You know, I look around and I see some of the things going on in the world today and I think, wow, how badly must this person be hurting to do these things, to say these things, to, you know, be out supporting these things. It's crazy, right? And I know people like jump to politics. I'm not even talking about politics. I'm just talking about the stuff that happens out in the world, how people treat each other and what they do and all of that. And I think, wow, what kind of difference would it make if that person felt joy, because they just want to feel better. Like, they don't feel good. Something's hurting and they want to feel better and they don't know how to feel better. So this is all they know. So the more joy that we bring into our lives, the more happiness that we create, and the more naturally we want to bring joy to others. You know, Marie Kondo was so excited to organize her space and her sister's space and her parents' space that pretty soon her friends started asking, and she was so excited to help them. Like, it just started out as something that brought joy and felt good, and it turned into this massive enterprise, a best-selling book, you know, like a hugely successful business and a reality TV show. I'm not saying everything needs to grow to that. I'm just, my point is the impact of joy is much bigger than you think. And you don't know the impact that you have on people. When I was in college, Andy and I were dating, or actually, no, I think it was right after college when we got married. I said, you know what? Let's invite my cousin over. We just were hanging out, having dinner at the house, whatever. And I said, let's invite my cousin, because I had bumped into him recently, hadn't seen him in a long time. And we weren't ever really close or anything, but I just said, let's invite him over. And he's kind of shy. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe it would be nice if we have him over to the house. So of course, Andy's like, yeah, sure. So he comes over and he's at the house, I don't know, I mean, a few hours, you know, we had dinner, whatever, we talked, stuff. He barely said 5 words the entire night. And, you know, when the evening was over, we thanked him for coming, whatever, and he thanked us for having him, and we left, you know, and my husband and I just kind of shrugged at each other, like, okay, like, we don't really have anything to say. A week later, I get a phone call from my mother, who had gotten a phone call from his mother, wanting my mom to thank me for inviting him because he had like the best time ever. And I just was like, really? Because I don't think he said more than half a dozen words the whole time he was there. He pretty much just like sat in the easy chair and like listened to Andy and I kind of go on and on. And we like ask him a question, you know, from time to time, and he'd like give a one word answer kind of thing. And we're like, okay. So we just keep talking, whatever. And I thought, wow, you really don't ever know, right? And in fact, she continued to thank my mother for that for weeks afterwards. He was like so grateful to have been included, to have been invited. And even though he didn't say anything, he still was like very happy to be there. It brought him joy to be there. So who knew such a simple, humble invitation could bring so much joy into someone's life? And then I found out later, like, he didn't really have a lot of friends and stuff. So it was actually, even though it was not a big deal for us to invite him, it was a very big deal. He felt to be invited and to be included and part of that event, right? So when joy seems out of reach, when it seems like you can't get it, you can't have it, just ask for it. It's really that simple as asking, what would bring me joy? What would bring me joy today? And as you start creating more joy, you'll feel happier and you will naturally start creating more joy for other people. It creates a positive effect. So there you go. That's the truth about joy. So your challenge, if you choose to accept it, is to just ask yourself that question, what would bring me joy today? And then do it. Whatever it is, follow through. Have that joy. Keep doing it and watch what happens. Post a comment and let us know what you thought about today's podcast. And I'll see you next time.
I'm a sidekick. My name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do. And I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life. And